My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars Rewards, where every bet you place brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Download the app using promo code RADIO1000 and place your first bet today. If you win, great. If not, you'll get it back as a bonus bet, up to $1,059 for Super Bowl 59. Open to new users in Illinois who are 21 or older. First bet after registration must qualify. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a bonus bet. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday, the 15th of January, 2025. This is episode 345, and I'm going to be honest here, Damon. You are catching me right in the middle of watching football. It's the North London Derby.
Okay.
It's Arsenal versus Tottenham. It's live going on as we speak, so I apologise if I... Yes! Get in!
Yeah? All right.
Sorry, that was nothing to do with the football.
No.
I just noticed that the New Japan English website is back. Chris Charlton delivering for the Shin Nihon Freaks yet again.
Way to go, Chris. Nice. Yeah, I did see that a little bit ago. Thank the Lord and heavens above. Look, maybe Chris had a little bit more free time in his hands. Maybe. I don't know. He is stretched very thin in that office. So, maybe a small blessing in the.
I heard not. I heard it's completely coincidental that is, they've been planning to launch it anyway. But I'm sticking with my headcanon. He got told off. Tony Khan was like, "Stop talking shit about me and fix the fucking website." Not that Tony he would care about the website. Why is Tony Khan asking him to fix the website?
Why would he do that? He has
Tony Khan won't go on the Japanese website. He thinks it's dangerous.
That is still one of the most comical things on earth. On earth. But look, everybody has
don't
their
have a meltdown, Tony.
Yeah, come on. Don't sue us.
Because we know that he can often go for the nuclear option.
What's that?
And we don't want to be dealing with a fallout.
Why? What's a nuclear option? I don't know what. I don't even know what that is. What is. Do I know what that is?
Yeah, I'm making puns. Well, you'll figure it out later.
Good. I'm a little slow today, as normal. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who have paid the money to hop on this fine stream where we talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, can I ask you a question while we start? And you fumble with your microphone.
Yeah?
Nope. Okay, there it is.
Were you waiting for me to say yes? You can answer.
Yes.
You may ask me a question. Okay. Yes. I thought that was a rhetorical. Can I ask you a question?
No. I want to make sure you're ready.
Because often you'll just say, let me ask you this. You'll just go straight in there. But today you're asking for my consent before you ask me the question, which
I'm turning a new leaf. Yeah, I'm turning over a new leaf. Okay. I'm asking.
I respect it.
Thank you. Here's my question coming right now. What's been the general feedback, I wonder, about us talking about the infamous message and debunking others' claims of how things went down? Have we had any feedback on it? Because I honestly haven't looked.
Not really. I mean, our word is gospel at this point. Even the biggest haters, and that's mostly the people over on Reddit, are sort of grudgingly admitting that our track record is impeccable. So if we say something, that it's absolute gospel. So
that's awesome.
they still hate us, but they're like, yeah, they're bastards, but they are always right. So we can't really doubt them on this one.
Can I ask you, do they hate you or do they hate us?
I think they hate both of us on our own merits.
what did I do wrong?
You're a Yankoid imbecile, so
that's true.
That's enough. Okay. That's enough for some of them.
Wait till the summer when I come over there, fucking like Stan Hansen rolling down Oxford Street. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, we can't all be perfect, right? We can't all be perfect. All right. Where do you want to navigate to first, sir?
I would like to talk to you. Mm-hmm. About Patreon. Let's plug the Patreon first.
Yes.
Say thank you to everyone who has signed up.
Yes.
Because I'm honestly stunned by the amount of people who are paying their hard-earned money to get whatever crap this is that we're this pig swill we're giving you. No, I jest. We are offering a very valuable service. The deli has, I think, delivered an entire year's worth of delicious pastrami this month alone, right? So if you're paying your $5, you are absolutely getting more than your money's worth this year. And the $10, you're getting stuff like getting to listen to this live and also all the bonus content. I'm lining up Jay Michael. I'm going to get him on to talk about his New Japan primer. I'm going to be doing a predictions episode that I've stolen the concept off Rich Craich. So I've put the post for free for everyone on Patreon. So you don't even have to be paying us to access this post, and you just comment on that what your predictions are for New Japan Pro Wrestling this year, and at the end of the month I'll record that, we'll talk about all your predictions, and then we'll revisit that next year and see who was correct. So
nice.
Got lots of fun ideas like that, so lots of interesting stuff coming your way for $10 subscribers. You get all the bonus audio goodness, and look, this is money that is hopefully going to go towards getting us out to see Hiroshi Tanahashi's retirement.
Oh my lord!
I was sort of playing around with what pronoun I was going to select there. If I was going to say me or us, because I'm not going to tell you how much we're bringing in at the moment, because the money's just resting in my account, Damon. You don't need to know that.
I don't need to know nothing. That's right.
But you know, as I continue to play Shenmue with my children, they're demanding to go to Japan as well, and you know, this is going to be a big event. We want to see Hiroshi Tanahashi's retirement, and we also want video footage of Arthur cracking open a nice cold can of grapefruit from a vending machine, going glug glug glug, ooh, glug glug glug. Ah, good. That's what the people want. Oh, that was another idea I had. I want to get Rich Craich on the Patreon, and we'll do a Shenmue special.
I was asking.
Podcast.
I was thinking that, like, can't you do like walkthroughs and shit?
You can. I record. Can. I can do anything.
You can do it all.
Thank you.
Hi. What's this?
Say thank you, bastard.
Oh.
You want me to say thank you, or you want me to say thank you, bastard?
Thank you. Say thank you. To me.
I said thank you already, but thank you again. Thank you three times.
You're welcome, bastard.
Oh, brought me a lovely flask of fresh peppermint tea.
You're welcome, bastard.
What's with the bastard? What's that all about?
She just likes attention. She likes to sabotage the podcast. Come on, Damon, you know this. That's her favorite hobby.
I thought that was like a little pet name of yours. That'd be nice.
She does call me that a lot, to be fair.
Right. It might not be in loving terms either. All right. Good job by the Patreon peoples. We definitely do appreciate that. And again, I don't give a... Look, here's the thing. You do 99% of it. So I mean, if anybody's keeping money, you are. So let's worry about getting you, because you have four people. I mean, at most I'll have two. And we'll figure that out and blah, blah, blah. I tell you what, I got a little side hustle going too. A little like shoot work, hide side hustle going too. So that's going right into the bank. So I got to pay the Oasis gimmick though. I got to pay that off. But then it's all about Japan. So I haven't told Cheryl yet though. Like, no, I'm thinking about it. Like, I mean, she's not going to object. She'll be like, fine, if we have the money, we'll go. But again, I need to be in luxury. I can't sit with a bunch of mouth breathers.
And also, if we've got listeners who are based in Japan or Tokyo, do reach out because you can be our sponsors.
Now we're talking.
You know that they do for the wrestlers. Yes. Like they take the wrestlers out and buy all their drinks and food. That's what I want to happen for me the entirety of my trip. Right. Every night, different person.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, I don't want to spend a dime. And you know, if you can get some place where we can be a little secluded, you know what I mean? I don't need this. Put us in a little room somewhere, a little privacy.
Yeah, I don't want to be seeing members of the public. I don't want to have to queue up anywhere.
Right, right. Backdoor entrances, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, the wrestlers upload photos on their social media, like Okan, pictures of him having like a luxury dinner of like Wagyu beef, Kobe beef, yakiniku restaurant. That's what we demand.
Yes. Yes. Now we're talking. I think a person...
And that doesn't come cheap, right?
No, it does not.
So, listeners, if you're not subscribed to the Patreon, get, as like I said last week, get your fucking wallet out, put your money where your mouth is. It's nothing, right? $5 or $10 a month. And if you're in the UK, you're going to benefit from the exchange rate as well. So you're not even going to be... It's not even £10.
Good point.
We're charging. It's $10. So that's less than £10. That's nothing. Like, you'd spend that amount on a pint. Wouldn't you? A pint of beer will cost you a 1 month subscription to our Patreon.
Come on. You can't even get McDonald's.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You selfish bastards.
Motherfucker.
How dare you? How dare you sit there and listen to this show without giving us your money? 6 years we've been doing this. Like, quite frankly, we deserve it. We should be back charging for all the content we've given. 346 episodes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
How many hours of content is that? You do the maths.
Wow. I tell you what, teaching's not for you, man. You should have been in sales. That's what I'm telling you. Buy the fucking car. Yeah, well, again, thank you for everyone who has. And if you haven't, I mean, you know what it is? It's kind of like a little bit of a lottery in the sense of, like, we don't know what's going to happen in February. We don't know what's going to happen in March. We have no idea what's going to happen in fucking July. But when it happens, ooh, bing, 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 bing. Like January. You know, that's, you know. Anyway, sign up. Do the right thing. Send Joel. Get that bank account rocking. And then, and we'll have a good time in Tokyo. All right. That's that. Where else are we going?
I would also like to point out that next week on the podcast, we are going to do our Super J-Cast annual awards. So if you have not yet voted, do that, please. The link is pinned to our Twitter account. And if you don't like Twitter, don't be a baby. Just go on it once so you can access our ballot. So there's 100-odd people who have voted so far. We'd like to get more than that. So if you're listening and you've not yet voted, go on our Twitter page and find the link, or I think I've put it on Blue Sky as well. So whatever, if for some reason you can't access it, let me know and I will send you the link myself. But yeah, next week, it's going to be quite a quiet week in terms of news, I hope. And then we will do the awards then. So get voting, please.
Yes, yes. If you haven't, time's a ticking. But yeah, you said that we were going to do it today, but we're going to extend it. Okay, yep, please get voting. Here's the thing. As much as people don't want to admit it, like, it is a way for you to kind of say, I like this and I didn't like this. And when we do our show, it usually is one of the more popular shows people listen to. So there you go. Everybody likes
it. And Gedo is listening. Tanahashi is listening. They're all listening. Kikuchi. And whatever you vote for, those are the acts that they're going to push further.
Yes, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. That's so everyone put in for Caveman Ugg.
Right. So first thing on my notes here in our news agenda, I've just written Kidani pervert. So what happened? President Kidani made a comment at a live event with the Stardom wrestlers that And I quote, I'm sure everyone who's come to this event today is here thinking it's an anime, card game, and game event, but it's rare to see women in swimsuits, even if they're in costume at this event. And then there's laughter in the venue as the players strike a pose. Thank you for this special treat. That's why I think you're quite rare in the entertainment industry to burn this into your memory and head to stardom. So basically he was using, he saying basically, come and look at women in swimsuits. So in isolation, right, that might not look like the worst thing that has been said in, you know, the history of Joshi. But John Carroll was talking to me about this. John gave some very useful context to this. So the Japanese fan reaction to this was extremely negative because they don't want to hear about how the girls' skimpy outfits is the reason why you should watch anymore. So it's caused an uproar because it reminded them of the bad old days with Rossi Ogawa that they thought we'd move beyond. So lots of tweets essentially saying, please don't compare their wrestling outfits to swimsuits, and saying that was inappropriate. And he was called out by a lot of other people. So Kidani himself apologized and said to all Stardom and female wrestling fans, at today's press conference, I made an inappropriate comment about the costumes of female wrestlers. I made the comment with the hope of drawing the interest of customers who normally have no connection to female wrestling. But it was thoughtless. I sincerely apologise to the female wrestlers and their fans. Tanahashi weighed in. He said, today I had a meeting with the owner, Stardom President Okada, regarding the comments made by Kidani at yesterday's Bushiroad press conference. I also regret that I was on stage and simply ignored the remarks. We will continue to strengthen our relationship with Stardom, blah, 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 blah. And then Stardom CEO Taro Okada said, regarding the comments made by Kidani, new Japan President Tanahashi was also present. We gave the owner a stern warning. All of our staff will continue to work wholeheartedly and do our utmost to contribute to the development of women's professional wrestling. And John also sent me a tweet from Tam Nakano, who's one of the biggest stars of Stardom. And she wrote a long list of why people should watch Stardom. And then put at the bottom, of course, we also welcome people who come just for the cute looks at first. More than that, I'm confident that you'll be captivated by our fight. I'll make you fall in love with me. And if you do, I'll make you the happiest person in the universe. So she was sort of leaning into it, trying to spin it into a positive. But I think my biggest takeaway, well, one, like, fucking brain dead thing for Kidani to say. He shouldn't be saying that. But I also found it weirdly encouraging that there's been such an uproar about this. And I don't think that would have necessarily happened 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. So I think it's, I'm taking this to, with a positive spin, that we've come far enough that a comment like that, which might actually look relatively, I don't want to say harmless because it's an extremely daft thing to say, but, you know, on the grand scale of things, like, people might have been expecting worse, but he's been rightly called out for that, and lots of people criticising him, and, you know, the owner speaking out, Tanahashi speaking out, and I think that's a good thing that we are in a world where that kind of talk is no longer acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, what... look, I don't know. There are press conferences in every sport, and political and non-political, you know, just people say dumb things. We say dumb things on this show sometimes. Is it excusable? You kind of want better. You do want better. And you're right. I think that temperature definitely changed in more recent times. Sure. And I know that I don't speak Japanese, so I can't sit here and be like, well, the tone of it was this or that. It just comes up across as a little bit minor league, a little bush league. And look, if I can see where some people might take offense. So,
but can you imagine if Tony Khan had said something like that? He would get absolutely fucking slaughtered for that.
Right. I think a lot of that has to do with the amplification of the platform that he is on as compared to, say, a Stardom press conference. Here's the thing. I don't know if we can sit here and say that it's an equal, like, faux pas, right, if Tony said it versus, Kidani or any representative of Stardom. It's one of those things that if you follow and you have any type of awareness of where we are today in the world, it's probably one of those things where you're just like, come on, dude, we can do better. That's really it. It's more of, come on, we can do better than this. And know that there is that general, I don't know, like labeling of Stardom fans. At least there were, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and things, you know, might have changed a little bit.
If the shoe fits, Damon.
I mean, but, you know, like there were, I mean, the general perception. Look, let's put it this way. There's a reason why that was said in many circles, because you go to a fucking show and somebody gets tossed outside the ring and it's all you hear are shutters going and not because it was, oh, I'm going to capture this young lady flying through the air. No, it wasn't that. So there is that. There is that element that, let me take that back, is probably not the right word. I'm hoping things have changed because I have not been there in many moons. But look, firsthand experience, I was there and it was just like looking at people like, what the fuck? Because man, they got out those cameras damn quick taking those pictures. So again, if you want to break free of that mold and that stereotype and that kind of ickiness, then yeah, it's got to start at the top and you know, disappointing to say the least.
I'm assuming that a 2 month suspension will be in place. All Bushiroad employees in there.
I'm not counting on
subsidiaries. That's an extremely rigorous standards there.
No.
Should we hold ourselves to these standards, Damon? Is it inappropriate
for
us to be talking about, you know, Driller Maloney's massive hog showing through his trunks? Like, we shouldn't be objectifying the male wrestlers like that either, should we?
You know what? It's a good point. But I think there's a big difference between two dopes doing a silly podcast, throwing in an occasional dick joke, because it
occasional, an occasional, well, right. Did a lot of heavy lifting there.
Right, true. And a $1 million company, trying to promote on a national scale. So while there is a validity in what you say, and I recognize that. That does not mean the dick jokes will stop in any way, shape, or form. Please note.
Even though we've had that suggested to us, we just can't help ourselves.
Seriously, we had a very smart person kind of be like, listen, we love the show, but you know, you probably get more listeners if you just cut. But like, it can't be done. It's because here's the thing. The problem is that it's not intentional. That's the crazy
thing. I know. I've not scripted this. It just pops out there.
That might be worse. Because you're getting
like Driller Maloney. No, sorry.
Well, for him, you know, there's nothing. Look, I'm going to tell you flat out. I do not have any notes whatsoever, and I never do, and I never do. And Joel kind of just has like the simplest of format sheets of how he wants to steer the ship. But aside from that, it's like you're getting us, and I have always said that, like this show, I would want it to be as if Joel and I were in a pub and we had two microphones that happened to be sitting by our pint glasses and you are all privy to that conversation. That's really what it is. So,
we've got our willies out as well.
And our dicks are out. Yeah. We didn't say what kind
of bar.
I could
do that on the Patreon. I could do rate my penis for $10. I'm not doing that. That's a joke. I've gone too far.
we can go three and end it at that.
Right. What else have we got here? So we've had some events announced for the upcoming year. Tuesday, February 11th, we've got New Beginning in Osaka in the Edion Arena. Thursday, March 6th, New Japan 53rd Anniversary. Actually, I'm not going to read all these out. Basically, the big takeaway here is that it seems that they are merging the New Japan Soul Tour with Dominion. So Dominion's still Sunday, June 15th at Osaka Joe Hall. But then we've got June 29th in the Dolphins Arena in Nagoya, and then Friday, July the 4th at the Tokyo Budokan. So that's not the Nippon Budokan, it's the Tokyo Budokan, right. The one that they used for the Soul Tour last time. So I'm assuming that, you know, when we had the New Japan Soul Tour with the G1 qualifiers, so I'm assuming we're going to be doing that again. And the biggest piece of news coming out of this is that the G1 finals are not going to be at Sumo Hall. They're going to be at the Ariake Arena.
Yeah.
So there has been some feedback about this, to say the least. So Rene Oscar says, I know this was slash is a point of contention among Japanese fans, but what is the feeling regarding moving G1 Climax finals to Ariake Arena and not Ryogoku? I know many customers have complained about the past two G1 finals, about New Japan configuring to the full setup, different to what Stardom did for Dream Queen in 2024. But do you think the move is a good one or not?
I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Because it's a bigger capacity, isn't it? The only thing I'm thinking is maybe they've got something big planned for it.
It seems lofty given where we are right now. And again, if things can change and people at the top can change. I just know of a lot of people's kind of hesitation of, okay, is what we have as we sit here today on the 15th, is that what's going to carry us into that? And I think all indicators are it probably won't be. I'm not saying it'll be massively different, but there will be some shifting, I would think.
Also, I'm going to jump in. Andrew in the chat says Ariake Arena is a pain in the ass to get to.
It is. Yes, that I can confirm.
And he says, I think Comiket is in that area at the same time, so people are worried about it being crowded.
Oh, yeah. That,
so it's already fucked. It's already a disaster.
it's a bigger building, I think, and it is out in the middle of fucking nowhere. That is like, there's not a direct train, if my memory serves me. I think it's like you had to take like two or three from central Tokyo. So yeah, it is in this weird area. Maybe I'm thinking of some place. Yeah, I'm not even gonna say. I don't know. I guess they're gambling a little bit. I guess they're gambling a little bit because right now I would be like, what are you doing? But again, if things change with people at the top and they start to see some momentum when it comes to ticket sales and shit like that, it could be a different story.
I mean, on that note, New Beginning in Osaka is already sold out. So just for context, but for comparison, in 2019, the same event, same venue sold out at, it's about 5,500 people. But there's a lot of people saying that they should have run a bigger venue. They should have run Osaka Joe Hall, because we've got, I think this is the full match card for New Beginning in Osaka. So we've got Tanahashi versus Makabe, Shingo versus Driller, Shota versus Great Okan, Taichi versus Sanada, Rocky and Yo versus Fujita and Eagles for the junior tag belts, Takeshita versus Oleg Bolton for the NEVER title, Hiromu and Naito against the Young Bucks for the IWGP tag titles, Tsuji against Gabe Kidd for the global title, and then Goto versus Zach for the world heavyweight title. So
stacked.
People are into this card. This is stacked, and it is already sold out. So we're so back, yes?
Again, I don't want to put too much stock in a building that is sold out early. That's always a positive. That's a good trend. That's a good start. Let's continue that momentum. That's a stacked show. That's a stacked show. And yes, they probably could have gone to a bigger arena, but I'm kind of glad they didn't. Let's not get all excited here. Let's get excited, but let's temper it a little bit. Only because, again, one show, good, fantastic. Let's see trends. Trends are always the most important thing. You can't go on a one-off. But yeah, I was pleased to learn. So they pulled out all the stops and they were rewarded. So maybe that teaches them a little lesson. Maybe.
To belt up Hiroki Goto.
Yeah, maybe. But
the
also,
man is a draw. Well, the numbers don't lie. The numbers, and they spelled disaster for Zack Sabre Jr. at New Beginning.
The numbers do not lie. It's all on the back of one HG. I forget my point. Fuck it. It probably wasn't that good anyway. What was my point? I forget. Oh, well. Nope. Lost it. Old man disease. Sorry.
Sorry. It's my fault, constantly interrupting. Next thing is, now we did touch on this before, but it has been made official now that the KOPW Championship has been officially and formally retired by the IWGP committee.
I don't think any.
The website, there's only like three lines on it, and they've put in there the KOPW title was created in July 2020 by Kazuchika Okada. So they've just that little nugget in there, which is important. That's his lasting legacy. So we did the whitewashing of Okada's stain in New Japan is gradually being wiped out.
This company, again, they could probably do that for at least two other belts, right? At one point, it was just overrun. And once again, this was a title that had a couple of moments that you kind of piqued your interest and raised your eyebrows a little bit. And okay, but overall, I don't think anybody was, dying, not only dying to watch these title matches, and I put in air quotes, like the wrestlers don't want to be bogged down with that. You know what I mean? Like they don't want to be bogged down with
that. Maybe I should do a Patreon series on that.
Yeah, the history of. The
history of KOPW, yeah.
And it wouldn't be the first title that they just decided to be like, all right, this didn't work. You know, they had, what was it, I forget what it was, like U9 or U7 or something like that, where Lou Thayas presented this belt and it was supposed to be about the best of the best of the best of the best. And, you know, they tossed that after like two or three years at best. Look, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? They tried and it just wasn't something people were interested in.
Okay, well, let's get into discussing Battle in the Valley. Mm. So the attendance for Battle in the Valley was 1,814 people. So by comparison, Battle in the Valley 2024, which, as you all remember, had a much stronger card. It had Okada and Ospreay in the main event, Moxley and Shingo in the co-main event. That did 2,147. So it's not a million miles away, actually.
No.
We're only looking at sort of 300 tickets, which, I don't know, that's pretty good considering the difference in main event here. We main event with the juniors, for fuck's sake, Damon. I'm conveniently ignoring the fact that this was the same main event as Dominion last year, but I cherry-picked my facts to support my completely biased strawman arguments.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a terrible number, but again, let's get into talking about it. Did you watch the pre-show?
I did not watch the pre-show, but I watched everything up and down the show.
So we had a strong survivor match with the new strong survivor. That's Zane J.
Good job, Jay.
Defeating Viento in 6 minutes and 23 seconds. Wasn't the most impressive thing Zane J did on the show. We will come on to that later. But he's keeping the rich and deep legacy of the strong survivor alive with a solid effort there. They got all their shit in. And yeah, I quite like Zane J. He's making a good impression so far. I was going to say he's got a good body, but I shouldn't say that because I'll get into trouble. He's got a good aesthetic. I like his aesthetic. Zane J has a good pro wrestling aesthetic.
I got to be honest with you. That sounds worse.
I'm an aesthetics appreciator. Mm. We also had Bad Dude Tito and Shane Haste defeating the team of Matt Vandegrift and Fred Rosser. So Matt Vandegrift has not yet escaped pre-show containment. He was tagging with Fred Rosser here and they had a miscommunication. Fred Rosser accidentally bashed Matt Vandegrift in the head at some point in the match, and then Matt Vandegrift refused to tag in. So I'm assuming that's going to pivot to a Matt Vandegrift and Fred Rosser feud, which to me, the intriguing question here is going to be, does that escape the pre-show containment? Is that something that they can somehow squeeze onto the main card? Or is Matt Vandegrift doomed for eternity to be wrestling in shows that Damon McDonald will never watch until the rocks melt and the seas burn? Will not happen. We'll have no takes about Matt Vandegrift. But that was the Battle in the Valley pre-show, which was nice and good. So well done, everybody, for that. Let's start with a curious choice for the opening match, the Strong Openweight Championship match, where we had the champion, Gabe Kidd, defending against the challenger, Tomohiro Ishii, and they went to a 30-minute time limit draw. So
opening
Matt
match
says... love Gabe and Ishii, fight forever, etc. But how does a 30-minute Iron Man make sense after a 30-minute draw? So for context there, after the match, they decided they're going to have a rematch, and that will be a 30-minute Iron Man match. So wasn't that just the 0-0 Iron Man? And Van Hammer Dude says, do you think the Gabe Kid draw is any kind of clue as to who's winning his match with Tsuji? So we'll unpick and criticize the logic of the Iron Man shortly. But first of all, what did you think of the match itself?
So the match was good, real good. Again, I thought it was. First of all, it's Tomohiro Ishii and Gabe Kidd. Okay, so you're going to have high energy, fun, hard hitting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what you're getting. And to me, it felt like this was, and I don't mean this necessarily in a bad way, but this was Tomohiro Ishii's Americanized style match, right? Kind of in that realm.
The Ankoid Imbecile match.
Yes, thank you. I will say that I was not like scratching my head of why would they do this, but I did think it was a very interesting choice to open up with a 30-minute time limit draw. Like, you know, you're almost always accustomed to that first match being this, you know, 10-minute sprint, get the crowd going, whatever. And trust me, this got the crowd going, I thought. I just thought it was just a weird spot. I don't know if somebody was double parked outside. I don't know if somebody had a flight to catch. I don't know. But yeah, that was the one thing that stuck with me of, wow, that was just a weird spot to go 30. And then it felt like the other matches after that, I don't think there was a match that went 30 on the entire show.
I'm just scrolling through here and...
Correct. Right. So I don't even think like that elimination match. I don't even think that went 30. So I don't know why that stuck in me. Like, wow, that was just a weird decision. 30 minutes to open the show. But I thought the match was good. I thought the match was real good.
I don't think they had the content to justify going 30 minutes. And if I'm being really fussy, Gabe Kidd as your hot new star coming off the back of the Kenny Omega match should really probably be beaten. Yeah, he should. And I know he will. He will beat him at some point, but he should be putting him away in 10 minutes, not struggling to a 30-minute draw. So there's my criticism of the match. And yeah, having an Iron Man off the back of that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I'm looking forward to all the just Iron Man matches. You get the most... innocuous move scoring pinfalls. There's going to be an inside cradle that gets a pinfall, probably a side Russian leg sweep that gets score some points on the board. So looking forward to that. I don't think they've announced a date for that. Presumably it's going to be the next show they're doing. What's the one in April called? Windy City Riots.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's going to be that. Yeah. So here's a question. Rene Iskur says, with Driller moving up into heavyweight and the War Dogs having five heavyweights in the group, do you think Gabe or someone else will be kicked out? I'm fairly confident it will be Gabe getting kicked out, and that will be the launching point for the babyface turn.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if it necessarily has to do with heavies and juniors, mind you. But, yeah, I mean, I think all roads are pointing to something along those lines. Yeah, certainly.
Okay, next match was the Strong Openweight Tag Team Championship, where the newly rebranded world-class Wrecking Crew, Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs, defeated the challengers Rocky Romero and Yo in 11 minutes, 21 seconds. So I thought this was pretty good for the time it got, and I'm enjoying the Wrecking Crew's run with the belts, and I like how they are so desperate to keep these titles, having worked so hard to get them, that they will bend the rules. They will cheat. They had to use a belt to attack Rocky Romero in order to get the job done, because...
You can't do it
Rocky
clean.
Ain't Rocky. Clean pins. Yeah, no way. He's got to keep himself strong for that big challenge coming up in New Beginning.
That's right. You can't pin Rocky clean. Not in a big time important match like that. I liked the opening match a little bit better. I thought it was good. I'm not as all right. Well, let's Look, would you say that you were high, not on illegal prescription drugs or anything like that? Are you high on world-class Wrecking Crew?
No, I don't think they're particularly outstanding tag team, but they are a vindication to me that they are actually real and they exist and that New Japan Strong existed, because a lot of people were accusing me of manufacturing the world-class Wrecking Crew and saying that I made them up and that they weren't real as some sort of psyop to prove the existence of New Japan Strong, which a lot of people doubted. So the fact that they are still there and they're holding championship gold is proof that I did not have a mental breakdown in the middle of the pandemic and make all that up.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're just my guys, Damon. Because I watched all that shit, I've got a soft spot for it, and I've got to hold on to it. So people like them, people like Jacob Austin Young, I will always, a part of me will always love them because they were there my totem during some quite challenging times in my life.
Yeah, we're done with that, by the way. We're done. So you don't have to pretend any longer.
No, but it's a part of me now. It's part of my identity.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I don't think that they're terrible. I don't think that they're bad. I don't think that they're excellent, and I don't think that they're fantastic. Like they are comfortably.
New Japan are never going to pay for them to fly to Japan, are they?
Not in my lifetime. I don't think. But you know, stranger things have happened. Maybe Rocky was impressed. Yeah, I don't know if, to me, and I take this as however you want, but to me they are just an AEW perfect fit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They are that, you know, second match in on a TV taping, cut into commercial. While somebody gets heat on one of the, you know what I mean? Like I can see it.
I heard that when World Class Wrecking Crew won the Strong Openweight Tag Titles, that spooked the Young Bucks so badly that they were phoning up New Japan saying, get us on that Wrestle Kingdom card. We've got to cut the legs out from under these guys.
Yeah. But in the same breath, you know, they have. Just like you described, Joel, they were there in the lowest of the lows, paying their dues, so to speak. So, you know, I'm going to give them credit for that. They've been there. They've stuck around. They continue to get work, which I think is a good thing. But trust me, if somebody told me tomorrow that, yep, they're debuting at the TV tapings in fucking Cincinnati, whatever. I'd be like, no joke. You know, I can see that one because I just think that they are tailor made for that type of environment.
Next match was a no time limit elimination match with Viva Van, Hanako, Micah, and Mina Shirakawa defeating the team of Johnny Robbie, Trish Adora, Anna Jay, and Azumi. And that went 30 minutes and 37 seconds.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Think Michael was the winner. I'm assuming you've taken detailed notes about the eliminations and
I have but, ample notes.
Yeah, you take it away. Shuffle the papers.
I hate, and I know there are people that, let me take this back. I hate
women's poorly wrestling. That's not fair, Damon.
That's terrible. That is not what I'm saying. I hate poorly constructed elimination matches. And they are cut from the same cloth as a 15-minute battle royale in the sense that just – okay, here's what I don't like. The time of eliminations. Like there's like a minute between five people being eliminated, you know, and pinned or – it's just – I don't know. I hate it. I just, I don't know. Like, if you're going to have an elimination match, an 8-person tag team elimination match, you damn well better have it a little bit deeper in the card than giving them, what was the total match? I don't even think it was it 10 minutes total, this match?
13 minutes and 37 seconds. 13 minutes.
Okay. I mean, doesn't that seem like the absolute definition of 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag? Like, how do you have an 8? You know what I mean? Like, just
this match has made you really angry, David.
It didn't make me angry. I felt bad.
Unreasonable.
What
you just
was
said you hate it. Well, you hate the concept of a poorly executed elimination.
Correct.
Match,
I felt bad. Twist your words. I felt bad for the people in this match because they deserve better. They deserve, number one, they deserve better. And here's the thing. It's not like a lot of these names are like the first time showing up on a new, like they've been around. It's not like they're, I mean, maybe a couple of them, you know, people didn't recognize, but there were a few, more than a few that have been on other strong shows. Like, give them a little bit of time. Give them a little bit of time. Or I understand we're trying to get as many people work. And like, this just brings me back to indie fucking 90s Dennis Carluzzo shows where you had 900 people in a fucking locker room and you just had to get everybody on the goddamn show. And that's what I felt like watching this match. It's like, I mean, I felt bad for the people in it because I feel like they got short-shafted. I feel bad for us because the match itself was just like comical in the way that it was constructed. And what choice did they fucking have? I don't know. It bothered me. And it probably unreasonably, but it bothered me.
No, I take your point. Like, they could have picked any two wrestlers from this match to have a singles match, and
right,
it would have been significantly better than trying to cram them all in, or even four of them to have a tag team match. But yeah, there we go. We move on then to the NJPW World TV Championship match, where El Fantasma and Jeff Cobb went to a double count out, 10 minutes, 40 seconds, with a very creative finish where Jeff Cobb was about to be counted out, El Fantasma about to get back in the ring, and Jeff Cobb threw, I think it was Zane J, he threw Zane J at El Fantasma with quite a nasty looking bump. The camera didn't quite catch it, but it looked like a bit of a rough landing for Zane J, and caused El Fantasma to also get himself counted out. So it was a very entertaining 10 minutes while it lasted, and I enjoyed the chemistry between them and the sort of the difference with the high flying of El Fantasma and the power moves of Jeff Cobb. But if I were in attendance as a live fan, I might be feeling a little bit shortchanged by this because they have announced the rematch for the main event of the February 3rd Corcoran Hall show. So the good people of Corcoran Hall deserve to get a conclusive finish to this feud, but the people of San Jose, the Yankoid imbeciles, no dice.
Yep. I truth be told, after this match, I'm thinking to myself, there's no one that's going to fucking, you know, everybody has to be protected with countouts and time limit draws and all kinds of shit. I was like, wow, what a show we got going on here. And I know we got a 15-minute time limit here. I was just like, wow, okay. We're protecting a lot of people here. I thought the match was
good. NJPW Strong presents That Doesn't Work For Me, Brother, in the Valley.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. But I know that wasn't the case, but I was like, okay, well, nobody can lie down here tonight. But I liked the match a lot. I thought the match was really good. And I think, here's the thing. To me, I don't know what it is. And I always say that titles don't make the wrestler. The wrestler makes the title. That being said, I think that there is a mutual benefit to not only the title itself and people giving a shit about it and El Fantasma. Like, he looks like his confidence level has gone up tenfold. Now, again, he just came off a life-threatening thing, health condition, a thing, a fucking, you know, medical issue, you know, the big C. So, you know, maybe he does have this extra thing that he's able to get out of his personality or get out of who he is and and just his aura in the ring. I don't know. There's something a little different about him. And I don't know if it's a even more of, well, fuck it, I got nothing to lose because I, you know, had this shit and now I'm going to make the most of every opportunity I have. Or if it was, I beat this, I could do anything, and a newfound confidence. I don't know. But I just, it feels like he's an elevated version of himself, which is an...
I mean, for everything we hear today, he's very well respected.
Yes.
Backstage, bit of a locker room leader.
I mean, I remember when he was doing color commentating and people were just ravenous for him. And I know that a lot of what we have said in the past with him, where the company really likes him, the company really sees something here. And I don't know the reasons why it didn't happen as quickly as it did. And I'm not saying that it's happening, you know, in its completion as of right now, like this is what you get and this is, but it does feel like there is another level with his confidence and his presence and his aura, whatever you want to call it, that wasn't there prior to him taking time off. I don't know. It's not like a complete gimmick change by any stretch of the imagination. It's more of, I don't know, like a, I don't even know if it's fire. I don't know. Maybe it's just a different way of looking at the world or I don't know, but there's something different. And I think it's a positive and I think he's leaning into it. And I think only good things can come from it.
All right. Next was the Sumi Sakai retirement match where Sumi Sakai, King of Darkness, Evil, and Sho were defeated by Yuka Sakazaki, Mayu Iwatani, and Hiromu Takahashi. So the lore of this match being that Sumi Sakai hosted and looked after Sho and Evil when they were on their excursion. So nice little narrative within this match that they were the two young lions that she was looking after and they've gone rogue, they've gone off the rails, and she's sort of hoping she can win them back over to the side of light in her last match. But of course, that didn't work and led to what I found as a very entertaining match. And I know I'm a bit lean more sort of generously towards the house shenanigans than most people, but there were some fun moments here, particularly when they did the big stretch spot where all the people in the crowd were linking hands and Sumi Sakai turning on her own teammates and them turning on her, and the finish at the end with all three of her opponents outnumbering her 3-1 and doing all their finishing moves on her, and she eats a tearful pin for her last match in professional wrestling. Damon, talk to me about Sumi Sakai, please.
I love her. She's always super nice. Any interactions I've ever had with her. It's funny because every single Liger picture that I have, she's somewhere in the background. Like she's very present when it came to a lot of these East Coast shows and setting up the autograph tables and the meet and greets and all that stuff and kind of being in the background.
So many people with nice things to say about her. Biss says, how great is Sumi? Why is she the best? We know he does a lot of work on the US independence. And JJJ Stark says, just want to give a massive thank you to Sumi Sakai, who, along with Viva Van, fundraised to get us a ring in Vietnam Pro Wrestling.
Wow.
Sumi has helped wrestling grow all over the world. Thought her send-off match was amazing.
Awesome. I didn't know that. That's fantastic. Yeah, she's got that, you know, warm heart, and she's constantly giving of her time when it comes to New Japan, and especially here in the States.
Less giving of her time to watching All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, that tweet was pretty funny. I don't really watch your show, but...
it wasn't I don't really watch your show. It was...
Yeah,
I'm going to read it out. Hello, Tony Khan. I appreciate you that I could wrestle Yuka. Yuka Sakazaki is my favorite wrestler. She is so amazing. AW, so lucky to have her. So far, so good. I never watch AW on TV. But if she will be on TV, I and more people watch AW on TV for the million percent sure. Thank you.
I don't think that was me.
Say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, I get it. So... that was tweet of the year, as you said.
I have never and will never watch AEW.
Right. I vomit when I hear those three letters.
AEW is an insult to the very concept of life itself.
Right. Correct. That's what she meant. No, she again.
And then tweeting a picture of herself at Monday Night Raw. Incredible shitposting.
Right, that the follow. Right, you could not. I consider you.
CM Punk.
What?
There's the picture of CM Punk on the big screen.
Oh, you're right. And him, too, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cool. There's a lot of. I mean, what a coincidence. What another coincidence. Wow. What a third coincidence. All right. Yeah, we get it. Plead innocent. No, of course. But yeah, that was just a funny two or three tweet stretch there. Yes.
Chris Charlton, take notes.
Yeah. Oh, silly gooses. The Jersey connection is strong though, because again, I remember watching who the fuck was running the show somewhere in Rahway, New Jersey, up like northern New Jersey a little bit. She was on the shows a lot. She was on a lot of New Jersey independent shows. Oh, but the Rahway show, you know, Evil in full Watanabe mode, yet to become Evil. You know, he's on this fucking rinky dink, you know, indie show. And nobody's at his table. Nobody's at his gimmick table. Nobody knows who the fuck he is. And, you know, I just kind of go over, try to talk to him. His English wasn't that great. But that their whole family was really nice. What was his name? I forget the guy's name. I forget. Her partner. I forget. At the time, anyway. I think they're still together. They should be. He was real nice. He was real nice. And just, you know, kind of talking with him. But yeah, Hiromu, Show and Yo, Evil, all kind of, you know, made that their home up there in kind of northern shore, like central Jersey. So, yep. Good seeing her. Good job by her. I'm glad that she had that moment. That's really, it was nice that it was on a New Japan show too. You know, it could have very easily have happened on, you know, a Ring of Honor show, and even less people might have seen it. But, yeah, I think it was really good.
Now, interesting quote backstage after this match from Evil, who said, "Those damn punks are all full of themselves. Listen up, I'm not going back to Japan. Goodbye, New Japan. Oh. Don't forget it." What do you make of that?
Well, sounds like, listen, there's only a couple of reasons why someone would stay away from home for a considerable period of time, or even consider it. One, money. Two, a young lady. Right? So take your pick of which one might influence a young man's decision to stay away from home for an extended period of time. So from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, because I saw that you had a little bit more conversation in regard to this, that's legit. Like, he's going to take some time off from New Japan.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an open knowledge at this point that he is in a relationship with Io Shirai. So I'm not expecting anything significant to come of this. I think my sort of a funny return segment is about all I can hope for here, and I'm sure it will be executed to perfection, because talking about someone who just gets the assignment, that is Evil. I don't think this is him leaving the company. I don't think he's going to return as babyface Takaki Watanabe. But at the very least, when Evil does something, I do sit up and think, oh, this is going to be good. I'm sure I'll get a little chuckle out of whatever it is he's got cooking.
Yeah, that's when he comes back and he debuts as all capital letters, good. Sorry, that was terrible. I'm leaving the show. Goodbye, everyone.
That would be an incredible gimmick, though.
Good.
Just comes back dressed. Who was that guy in WWE who was all dressed in white? That was going to be the nemesis for The Undertaker. Mordecai? Was that it?
Was that it? I don't know. I kind of remember that. I don't really... Maybe. Wow, look at you with the early 90s WWF callback. Nice. Good job by you. I don't remember. I remember the name. I don't remember him, though. Oh, well. Who cares?
Hade Vanson. There's another one that's just popped into my head. Someone who's supposed to be feuding with The Undertaker. He had all these video promos that I think he'd never actually debuted.
Love it. Love it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just watching the end of the... Yes. Finally. Final whistle. Yep. Arsenal 2, Spurs 1. We've squeaked out the win there.
Tottenham sucks.
Ah, that was quite stressful. Okay. Let's now discuss the never open weight championship match where Konosuke Takeshita successfully defended against Kushida, 15 minutes and 8 seconds. You know what? I think Kushida should turn heel, join the Bullet Club, and move to the heavyweight division. Oh, no, I've accidentally got mixed up with my notes from 2018. This match.
You should be an MMA guy.
What did you think of the match, Damon?
I was waiting for Kushida's MMA start. Remember that? A little buzz around. It was good. It was, look, I think obviously the right person won. Two, I don't think there was any doubt that the right person was going to win. Three, both of them are very, very good. And four, it's not like they went, you know, they were asked to deliver this, you know, monumental, never open weight title match that will blow the barn doors open and hard hitting media. But I think given the fact that, you know, we're trying to make it as competitive as possible, but still give the heavyweight the nod, if you will, I thought they worked it pretty well. But I think that they were probably both in, if they have, how many gears are in a car? 5 gears? 4 gears? I don't know.
But they 5, sometimes 6.
Ooh. Speedster. If it's 6, then they probably gave you 4. How about that when it comes to it? But it was good. I liked it. Enjoyed it. Oh, I'm getting messages, Joel. I'm getting a lot of text messages from people in the pro wrestling world. Some people, one person that you absolutely are well aware of. So I'll give them a text back. And
yeah, we got some breaking news.
No, nothing like that. I don't think. I'd be shocked, but yeah, I'll give him a call later on. All right, where are we going next?
Out of the back of this, yeah, they have announced Takeshita versus Oleg Bolton. That's been added to New Beginning for the NEVER title. And we got some questions about Takeshita. So Louis says, with a win over Kushida, is this only the beginning of great things to come from Takeshita? And Rene Esker says, what are the expectations for Konosuke Takeshita? They seem all over the place online. Some seem to believe that he's just an AEW guy eating NJPW lunch. Others, including me, expect him to transition into a top NJPW guy and compete for the World Heavyweight Championship. So I know we sort of discussed this last week. So have you had any further thoughts on this? Like, because my temptation would be to just belt him up as soon as possible, because he immediately fills that gap left by Okada and undoes all of the the problems that occurs with Okada leaving. So you just slot him into that. He can have a mega reign with the title. He can break all the defense records and then is ultimately dethroned by your next guy, whether that's Gabe Kidd or Yota Tsuji or Yuya Uemura. Take your pick out of those three. And then you're cooking with gas. So that's what I would do. But I do understand that there is possibly issues associated with putting the world title on a quote-unquote outsider, the optics of that. But personally, I don't really care about that because he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I think the best wrestlers should hold the best titles because that's what pro wrestling is all about.
Here's what I would say. Because of a very similar situation that he is in, and if we roll back the hands of time and look at Kota Ibushi, right? And when he originally came into New Japan and, you know, he was a big player still in DDT, did his New Japan stuff. He also would do some wacky independence in Japan. And, you know, I'm not saying he had carte blanche to do whatever he wanted, but it did feel like he had a little bit more flexibility. But whatever you would have done with Kota Ibushi, I'd like it to be double for him. Is that fair?
Like, yeah, and of course the context of Ibushi being that he was coming into New Japan when they had like one of the most historically stacked rosters of all time.
Right. Absolutely. And
we are not in that place right now.
We are not. Right. So that's why I won double, right? So that like whatever you thought would be the ceiling for Kota Ibushi at that time, and a lot of people were like, belt him the fuck up. And give him, push him
so
to the
you
moon.
Don't want Takeshita to have the Tiger Mask double gimmick. No anime gimmicks.
Yeah. Who did he wrestle in that match? Who was it? ACH? Was it?
Yeah, ACH, that was at Wrestle Kingdom, yeah. And also he wrestled Okada at the anniversary show.
That is correct as well, yes. No, I do not want that. I do not want that. But, yeah, look, I think it's once again, I think everyone benefits, him, every company. And I don't think that there is hesitation with New Japan to do that. I really don't. I think everything's been ironed out, and if they wanted to do something like that, they could. And I'm with you. Like he should be a guy in this promotion, more, even more than what he is right now. We could take our time. We've got 2 years, all that stuff. Okay. And there's plenty that can be done in that time span, but know that in your mind that this guy's a major player in my promotion. And we're going to see what kind of money we can make with this guy.
And I know there's been a lot of speculation and doubt over the nature of his contract with New Japan. Is this something where he's just sort of part-time with New Japan, but he's mainly an AEW guy? I think what spoke volumes was Hiroshi Tanahashi announcing his last match in the United States being at Windy City Riot against Konosuke Takeshita, right? They're not giving Tanahashi's last match in America to
Tenzan,
a full-time AEW guy, right?
Right. Or Tenzan. Or, you know, yeah. I'm with you. Look, I truly believe that they know what they have. And here's the thing, too. I think he knows what he is in the sense of his value, right? So if he has that, if he was able to negotiate that type of flexibility, that doesn't necessarily mean that New Japan takes a back seat at all. But it just gives the person a little bit more creative control of where they can work and what they can do and how often they can do it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think we're going to come across a situation where he wants to work a DDT show and New Japan says, well, no, we have this show and we need you here, where there would be pushback. I just don't foresee that happening. I think everything's been pretty much ironed out when it comes to that. And if they weren't, they wouldn't have signed. There would be no contract. So I'm comfortable with it.
Now, there is an interesting question raised here. The Bebler says, what's the reason for Tanahashi doing his last US match as early as April?
That's
he trying to avoid being inundated with requests to wrestle mid-American wrestlers. So, yeah, that is a really interesting one. And again, my lizard brain is thinking, oh, he's saving himself. He's going to do one final G1 climax run. He's going to be in the finals. He's going to make one last crack at the gold. So he's got to save himself for that. And he doesn't need to be wasting his time and risking injury wrestling in front of the Yankoid imbeciles because they don't deserve it.
Come on. Now you're getting a little hurtful.
I take it back. I'm sorry.
Very hurtful.
I've been hurtful.
I love my country. I thought that was weird. Man, there's a lot of months between April and the end of the year. Which did have me raising. We really haven't had that. This is his last G1 moment, right? We really haven't had that. We all assume that when he wasn't in, that okay, that's him riding off into the sunset when it comes to G1. I think you're right in the sense that this is, you know, it's early because the summer months are going to be a little bit of a grind for the dude in his last G1. You would think, and we'll see how far he goes in it, but. I mean, I think that's, I would hope that's it because, yeah, I mean, there's always, they always do that little US tour right after G1 too. So again, who knows? And I will say this. Well, here's the thing. If the April in Chicago is the last US Tanahashi match, and then they say, oh, well, wait a minute. We're going to actually have him in September in fucking Lowell, Massachusetts. I think if I bought a ticket for Chicago, I'd be a little bit pissed. Probably a little bit more than pissed. That would be the old bait and switch. You would tend to believe that he has things cooking in Japan during the summer and autumn months.
I think this is a calculated insult to Tony Khan. Tanahashi shows solidarity with Chris Charlton. Mm-hmm. Chris has probably got in his ear and been like, look, this is how I get him back. Yeah. Just to declare yourself unavailable for future US events after Windy City Riot. So that's what's going on.
You know, speaking of Chris Charlton and getting a good rub, somebody, well, it was a flagship I did listen to this week. They were like, wouldn't it be something if Chris shows up at Forbidden Door. You know, he works the show, you know, just a good natured thing. Again, I think a lot of this could have been settled with a phone call again, but I thought that was an interesting thing if that did happen, if Chris just showed up. Chris shows up like a heel Joey Styles, starts fucking shooting.
But did you watch the 2001 WWF Invasion show?
Yes.
Where they did like the crossover matches, and they had the match between Earl Hebner and Nick Patrick.
Yes. Yes.
I want that match, but with Chris
and Tony. Okay.
Yeah. And Tony wins with how did that match finish? It was like a running shove, like a shoulder bar.
Right.
I want it to play out move for move exactly like exactly. That match, just to pop me specifically. That is what I want.
I was kind of hoping they would go like it has nothing to do with the invasion angles or something. They could work the old Beulah McGillicuddy versus Bill Alfonso type match. It'd be great. A lot of ball shots and shit. It'd be great. Oh, pro wrestling. That's a moneymaker right there, though.
We had a special singles match with Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Etisero, 23 minutes, 43 seconds. I like the combination. I mean, we've seen this match twice before. This match wasn't anything that particularly excelled on the previous two outings. I enjoyed the closing sequence, the back and forth pinfall combination. That was great. Yeah, I just enjoy watching these guys wrestle. Did you like it as well?
I did. I really liked it a lot. I mean, to me, this was the best match on the show. Even with the non-title stipulation in place, I thought it was really good. I'm just kind of holding on just because I like watching him so much. I just wish that somehow he could magically get Gates just pop, you know, keep him in the title. And I know
that's the only thing he's lacking, isn't it? Ugh. Although, I mean, we've got a sellout at New Beginning.
We
know that's all because of Goto, but that's a feather in Zach's cap as well.
Look, take it. Any headlines, you know, look, I know people keep shoving the data in my face and I try to ignore it, but I get it. But I definitely like this match. I love everything about it. And again, I think this was the match of the night.
Nick says, if Zach retains over Goto, do you see a rematch between Zach and Etisero happening at Fantastic Mania for the title?
I usually don't.
Four matches between the two would probably be excessive. I think I've seen enough from the term at this point. There was a poster for Fantastic Mania where it's got the list of the talent that are going to be taking part.
Oh, yeah.
As I scroll through the Discord to try to find it. Here we go. So there is Titan, Ultimo Guerrero, Mystico, Volador Jr., Mascara Dorada, Templario, Etisero is on the poster.
Come on,
it's very small. I need to open it bigger. Sorry,
he needs readers.
My eyesight is terrible. Max Star. I've not heard of Max Star. Atlantis Junior. Okamura. Zelhua. Why have I started this venture to pronounce?
Somebody call Lucha Blog for us, please.
Rugido, Stigma, Zandakan Jr., Raider, Magnus, Barbaro Cavanario, Neon, Averno, Sobrano Jr. So
yeah.
There you go. Etisero is on the poster, so we can expect him to be taken part in Fantastic Mania.
The most wonderful time of the year. Fantastic Mania for me. Love it. Oh, boy. Fucking. No, it's actually. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Main event was El Desperado successfully defending his IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Taiji Ishimori, 20 minutes, 44 seconds.
I don't know if this was the best match these two could have had or could have had. This one didn't hit for me, Joel. And
they're playing the hits, aren't they? I always find with these matches that they do in the States, I watch them and they're good and I'm entertained, but I have absolutely nothing to say about them. I'm not compelled to take any notes. I'm just like, that was okay. That was good. And it's just, yeah, they're playing the hits to like a love letter to previous better matches that they've had elsewhere. Right. And that could be said about a lot of these.
And that's not, that doesn't mean that it was bad. It was just, right. It was, I don't even want to say going through the motions, but there was a definite different feel. Yeah, a different feel of matches like this in the States and matches like this in Japan. I don't know. I don't think anybody would deny that. And that is not to say that this match was not good. It was, but you're right. It's like, I don't know. There's not that. There's nothing there that says to me, like, let me take you on a ride, right? It's more of, let me show you what we can do, if that makes any sense. Like, as a viewer, I feel there is a disconnect between the ability to draw someone in on a big show, big spot. And maybe that's just me and me mentally kind of being like, okay, I'm in for the ride because I know this is important. And I know that by and large, these shows aren't important. And maybe that's just me kind of taking myself a step back because I know they're taking a step back. Which is weird. This is weird. But I've been saying that for, you know, in different forms for, you know, over a year now, that these US shows just have a different feel, a different vibe. And like this match kind of speaks to that.
To play devil's advocate here, they've given them an authentic New Japan Pro Wrestling match. This is the main event of Dominion that they've given them here between two of Japanese talent. So I would say at the very least, they've made an effort here to give an authentic New Japan main event rather than some sort of
mixed match.
Down.
Yeah. I'll give you that. But I do, again, if we're doing the car analogy, there does feel like this is a little bit of a downshift. And I'm not saying that they have to go out there and smash each other the bits for 1,000 people in, where's the show? San Jose. I don't know. It's just not the same. And I think maybe me even mentioning it at this point in time is pretty silly because it's very rare that I've felt that way, period, for any shows that have been in the States. So why would this be any different? Now, as strange as that might sound, I liked this show. I thought the show was rather good and probably one of the better New Japan / New Japan Strong shows that we've had in a bit. And it does seem like maybe we harp on the negative of it. The show was good.
Can I just jump in with a question just to back that point up? So Rose says, I thought Battle in the Valley was the best USA show in the Strong era. Most of the card had matches that would realistically be seen on a New Japan and Stardom show in Japan. Should matches like Despy Ishimori be the standard that they should be producing for Strong moving forward, as in matches that the fans in America could realistically see taking place here in Japan to get the true New Japan experience?
To answer the question, it would be wonderful. To answer the question, I don't know if I felt the same way. I felt that the show was very good. I don't know I don't know if I'm being fair. And I don't know if I can be fair, truth be told. I just have this preconceived notion of what a New Japan Pro Wrestling show in the United States is compared to a New Japan Pro Wrestling show in Japan. And I think that there is a noticeable difference. And while I thought these matches were good, I just thought that there was another gear that they could have hit. Should they or could they? Okay, debatable. But this was probably as close as we've gotten on a ton of these Strong shows. So this show in particular, if we're trying to take away all the fuzz and all the noise of that, was a very good show. Up and down the card. Very good. And the closest thing that we've probably have gotten to a New Japan Pro Wrestling show / Strong show that would be, like, let's put it this way. Do you think this show was better than your average Road 2 show? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a really strong show. No pun intended. And I think perhaps we're doing a bit of a disservice by hand waving all these matches. But it was, a good card. I think the very well constructed cards. And some of the choices made earlier in the card, notwithstanding, I thought towards the back end, it really delivered. So I would love to hear from anyone who attended the show live. I'm sure you left that show feeling you absolutely got your money's worth. And I think this is a sustainable model moving forward for New Japan.
I'm with you. And I think if I bought a ticket to that, I would probably be very happy with what I got. And there's a big difference between sitting on your couch with a bowl of fucking Buc-ee's and going to the show and being in the middle of it and getting the energy and all that. So, yeah, I'm sure the live experience was even better. So, yeah, thumbs up. Thumbs up for me.
Kosei Fujita will be the next challenger for the junior title. So we've had a list of main events announced for the Korakuen Hall shows on the Road to the New Beginning. So on the 22nd, it will be Goto and Despy against Zach and Fujita. On the 23rd, it will be Yoshihashi versus Oiwa. On February 3rd, as mentioned, it will be ELP against Jeff Cobb having a rematch for the TV title. And on February the 4th, it will be Despy and Fujita for the junior title. So it's quite tasty matches in the Road to New Beginning that they just couldn't squeeze onto the New Beginning card itself because it's so stacked. So got a lot of exciting stuff to be looking forward to for the New Beginning. Not least, the Yuji Nagata Wrestling Life 40th Anniversary Blue Justice 15 show, which will be taking place this Sunday in Chiba, the Sakura Civic Gymnasium. Assuming this one is going to be televised, we've got Katsuyo Morishima, Shoma Kato, and Shota Umino. So Shota is tagging with the Young Lions now on the Curtain Jerker against Jacob Austin Young, Francesco Akira, and Great Okan. Second match, we've got Honma, Yo, and Despy against Oiwa, Robbie Eagles, and Fujita. Third match, we've got Tenkozy against Hiromu and Naito. I like that one. That's quite an interesting match. Fourth match, Taka and Taichi against Ishimori and Sanada. Fifth match, Bushi, Shingo, and Tsuji against Clark, Driller, and Gabe Kidd. Sixth match, Yoshihashi and Goto, so Bishmon against Hartley Jackson and Zack Sabre Jr. Hartley Jackson, man, wow, he's just really doing it, isn't he?
Good for him.
And main event, a special eight-man tag match, Oleg Bolton, Toriano, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Yuji Nagata against Kanemaru, Sho, Yujiro, and Ren Narita. So that is the Blue Justice Yuji Nagata show. Yuji Nagata still going strong. However old he is. How old is he now? How old do you think
he is? Oh, God, he's got to be 60? Late 50s?
56.
There you go. Is 56
no
late?
No anymore, do they?
No, right. Is 56 late? Would you consider 56 late 50s? Mid 50s.
No, I'd say I'll put that as mid 50s.
Mid 50s, all right. Mid 50s, there we are.
But there's nothing mid about Yuji Nagata.
There you go. Look at you. The puns.
Right, please sign up to our Patreon. It's great. $5 access to the deli. You will need to, when you log into Patreon, connect your Discord account, and then you'll automatically get access to the deli. Because there's all the no one, Damon, in this realm of wrestling, quote unquote journalism, has access to the sources that we do. No one is covering New Japan the way that we do. Even people we respect who have been doing this for years and are much better at it than us, like, you know, Dave Meltzer, Sean Ross, they don't have the sources that we do. And they don't have the exclusives that we do. Because Hiroshi Okada leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling,
hello,
the biggest story happening in the company for decades, we were first.
Hi. Yes.
We were first.
We were first.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Who knows what the next story is going to be?
I know.
And if you're a $5 subscriber, you'll get that before anyone else does.
That's right. That's right. You'll be the cool kid at school. $10
subscriber.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. $10? I'm sorry.
$10 subscriber, even better, because you'll be giving us more of your money and you get to listen to more great audio. Just let me know what you want to hear. I'm open to suggestions. If there's something you particularly would like me to do, anyone you particularly like me or us to talk to or talk about, let me know.
You know what I think you should do?
I'll do anything for money.
I know. Well, here we go. Here's what I think you should do. I think you should be on Cameo. I think you should give birthday messages. Imagine that. It's Joel from the Super J-Cast wishing you a happy birthday. I would die laughing. Please do it. Please sign up. You know what? I'll just give random people it. People have no idea what even pro wrestling is. Just, hi, this is Joel, Super J-Cast. I hear it's your birthday. That'd be great. I'm going to do it. I'll pay for it. I'll lose money in this deal just for the entertainment value of you calling random schmoes and saying happy birthday. Oh, Lordy Lou. We're whores at this point. We are whores.
Go vote in our JCast Awards. I'm going now. Bye.
Oh, wait. I gotta hit pause here or stop. All right, we're going to hit stop right now.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture, and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free. TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.